from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, you hear it? A little Earth, Wind, and Fire to get you started. Earth, Wind, and Fire. As I say all the time, it is good for your soul. A little soul food in these times, in these days is something all of us can use, a little soul food. So hopefully we're getting you started on the right foot here on this Monday morning. And, of course, when we start with that, it generally means that Joe isn't here, and, well, Joe isn't here. It's just me, Paul, obviously. But I'm here with Bob Pompiani. Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you? I'm good. Good weekend.
Doing good. What's that?
Good weekend. Plenty of sunshine. Was there plenty of activity, golf-related?
No.
Never
Unfortunately,
is.
Unfortunately, no.
Never is, it seems.
I did go to Cincinnati to see a music festival, because, you know, I'm a child of the 80s and early 90s, so it was a bunch of groups like New Edition, Belle Biv DeVoe, En Vogue, you know. So I did have a good Saturday night. I was able to watch some, you know, bring me back to my, you know, late high school and early college years.
There you go.
But that was good. That was fun. But but the problem was I had so many other things I had to get done, which is always the case. I couldn't golf either day.
They were hot, however. But two of the better days to get out and do anything. I mean, not a cloud in the sky. It was beautiful.
Now, last week I did golf. I went up to Saratoga Springs in New York. I golfed at Saratoga National a couple of days, and the weather was perfect. The weather was perfect because it was probably like 73, 72 and sunny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Perfect. Little gentle light breeze. You know what I mean?
Well, we normally get that around here in September and October. Yeah. I think those are the two best months of the year to do anything, actually.
Right. And so, you know, golfing was what it was. So, but no, I don't get to golf nearly as much as I like to. Nearly as much as I want to. You know, when I do, like this weekend, I'm actually home, so the I'll be back on the paulsice.com tour at Cedar Brook this weekend. But other than that,
is your tour like the Live Tour, or is it more like the PGA Tour?
Probably more like the Live Tour. We wear shorts and
smoke cigars, play music,
a little bit, have music playing if you want to. Just
what kind of prize money do you
get? We have one rule. That's it. Play fast.
Oh, that should be a rule, everyone.
Right.
I mean, I think people need to enforce it more, you know? In order to do what you have to do out there, you can't spend 5.5 hours. Like, I get it on a scramble, but not one of these days where you're, you know, there's no other play out there. Just keep it moving. You have to.
Yes. I mean, I just think that when you play slow, you don't realize you're making everybody behind you.
Right, it's selfish, to be honest. It's totally selfish.
You know what I'm saying? So all I'm saying is I think it's really easy, too, to play at a reasonably good pace. And, you know, there are some guys that say, oh, I don't understand what the problem is, just to enjoy yourself, you know? I don't enjoy myself when I'm standing and waiting 10 minutes to hit every shot. It's not enjoyable.
No, especially when you see people up there who hit it 3 feet and go through their entire routine over again and try, like, just pick it up, too. There's nothing wrong with picking up. Move on. Let's go.
Right. That's just it. And so I feel like it's you know, it's really important to you hit the ball and you move forward. Speaking of hitting the ball, Bob, yesterday the Pirates salvaged the last game of the series against Arizona by the skin of their teeth. And, you know, I'm going to start like this. If the two teams were reversed, right, what would we have been talking about in the ninth inning?
In other words, they blew it.
So in other words, the same thing happened, only, you know.
Well, I would imagine you'd talk about who's in pitching. You know, but
they had their closer on the mound. Yeah, their first base open and Joey Bart coming up.
I don't have a problem with them pitching to Bart.
Ah, come on. He's the only guy in the lineup that could hit.
I still don't have a problem with them pitching.
I walk him and pitch to Jared Triolo 100 times out of 100. That's not a second guess.
That's not a third guess.
That's not hindsight is 20/20. That's not outcome based. I said it at the time. And when they pinch hit Bart, I said if they pitch to him, he's going to tie the game. He's the only guy left in the whole entire thing that has a prayer of getting a hit. Walk him, pitch the Triolo,
well,
get out of there.
To me, that doesn't say all that much because none of them are hitting, and that includes him. I'm not overly impressed. That was a big hit for him, no doubt. But if I were in the same position, I'm not going to second guess that move. I thought,
I said it before it
happened.
No,
I know, but if you're a closer, you got to make a better pitch there too. That pitch was very hittable, and he hit it. So I can give him credit for that. That was a huge game for them, given what they were facing, which was a series sweep, one run allowed, another wasted pitching performance by Mitch Keller, with the prospect of now facing Houston in 3 games down there. They've been hot. And then Arizona again, and then San Diego. All of these teams are ahead of the Pirates and with better records than the Pirates. That loss would have been killer, I think, even though it's only one. But yeah, the way it happened and the whole series happened would have really taken the wind out of their sails.
Well, it would have taken a little bit of the wind out of the sails, but I think it's a big win for them. It's good for them, but the biggest thing about baseball, man, it's only one game. One way or the other, it's only one game. I thought it was great. Obviously, Rowdy Tellez got it started. You know, I mean, I don't even know how many people anticipated that he was available. He gets up and gets a big hit. And then Colin Holderman was a little bit shaky, but
who would have thought that hit by Hayes was going to be the winner? Because at that point, I figured, that's 6-2. There's no way they're coming back. And actually, they needed both of those runs.
Right. And I think one of the other things is you had, two or three nice plays at first by Grandal. You had the diving play in right field by Triolo.
Which is amazing. I mean, considering the guy hasn't played there ever, right, in the majors. Pretty amazing catch.
I just think that it's one of those situations where it felt like the baseball gods were lining up to allow the Pirates to steal a game. I mean, at the end of the day, you have Arizona's closer on the mound. Two outs.
He did great work against Palacios and Hayes. He struck them out on 6 pitches. Right. 3 each. Boom, boom.
Right.
And you're thinking, that's it. They're done. Bart came through. Give him credit for that.
It's funny. It's just hilarious to me when it comes to that baseball's a funny game like that, you know? But again, getting back to my other point, And this is, you know, they won the game, so, you know, we're going to be happy for them and talk about some of the good things they did. But the reason I walk Joey Bart, okay, and get to Triolo, he was 0 for 5, and he looked terrible in at least 3 out of the 5 at-bats. I'm sorry, I'm pitching to him. I know baseball people say, oh, well, you're putting the – what if Triolo hits a home run and now it's a 3-run homer? If he hits a home run, you lose anyway because there's a guy on base anyway. You're going to lose anyway. So what difference does it make? A, B, if you're afraid of your closer giving up a home run to Triolo, you need a new closer.
No, I get it. I thought it was a bad pitch, and it was a good one for Bart to hit, and he hit it. I mean, that happens. I still think – there were so many opportunities in that game that it should have come down to them not having an issue in the ninth inning. But again, there are too many guys who can't hit with men in scoring position. There are too many guys who are struggling in that, which is why with less than 48 hours to go before the trade deadline, I wonder how much that win moved Ben Cherington to think he has to do something or not. As you say, it's one out of 162. But they do grind their way through some of these games, and they need help. They clearly need help. Now with Gonzalez out, Reynolds will be back, I'm sure, sometime soon. But, the bottom line is they don't have enough hitting. And they haven't all season long. And because they haven't done anything yet, I'm very doubtful they will now, Paul.
Here's the thing. Okay. Here we go. So it's 5, 10, 12, 17... 19-24. Palacios, Hayes, Sawinski, Taylor, Bart, Triolo, Bay, Grandal. Batted 24 times. Okay? 24 times. They had 3 hits between them. And the other part is they had 4 walks. So let's give them... Actually, walks don't count as at-bats.
No.
So they have 24 at-bats. Forget about the plate appearances. 24 at-bats between them. They were 3-24. 3 of 24. They put up a lineup yesterday. When they put the lineup card up yesterday, the last four hitters were 182, 198, 200, 182.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your last four hitters, which is why it was 2-1 in the ninth, even though they started the game against a guy that throws meatballs right now, the Diaz.
Yeah.
And they Diaz had opportunities to get him.
He walked some guys, and they just needed a clutch hit along the way to help Keller out. Keller wasted, 7 innings. Now, they bailed him out at the ninth, but that would have been another classic one-run loss with good starting pitching wasted. And
right.
That's been the theme of this entire season, which is why I'm surprised nothing's happened yet with his trades.
But again, if you're Ben Cherington, what are you waiting for at this point? Are you trying to get like the cheapest price you can possibly get?
Well, I don't. I looked at that Jazz Chisholm trade, and it seems to me the Pirates could have made an equal offer, if not better, to get him. And he was the guy that, of all the people we've been talking about, he is signed through 2 more years. So he can help you now. And last night, I don't even know if Saul Paul in that Yankees game in his debut, he nearly got a concussion. He might have even. He slid in the second, took a knee to the head as he was doing so, shook it off, immediately stole third base. He's one of those guys who is above average in defense and offense in what is a weak hitting MLB these days. But still, his numbers would be among the best of the Pirates right now. So why wouldn't you want to make that, knowing that they sent Sawinski down, they have Jiwon Bae and Michael Taylor, and I don't know who else would play center field at this point. They need a center fielder.
Right. And they sent Sawinski down. In sending Sawinski down, I know that they need to get, Brian Reynolds activated again, but...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You still, now you've basically, you're really going to go the rest of the year with Michael A. Taylor as your center fielder? Because that's what they're set up to do right now. Right?
I got to believe there's something on the way, at least, even if it's marginal. You got to do something. They should have done something a while ago. There were a lot of guys on the board. I found it interesting that the Chicago Cubs, even though they are behind the Pirates in this wild card chase, made two deals.
Right.
One of them acquired an all-star third baseman from Tampa, Paredes. You know, they have sent a message, we're not giving up. We think we can get in this thing. But the Pirates haven't done anything at this point to help out this group. So...
Well, and
you,
I think
you can talk about managing all you want, but when you just recited their lineup, what options does Ben Cherington or does Derek Shelton have here? You know, what can he do to shake up a lineup, to get guys to hit? Now, you can argue that Andy Haynes is not doing his job, but I look around, there are a lot of hitters in baseball who are struggling right now. And that may be a legitimate thing at the end of the season. They make a change. But what do you do if you're Shelton at this point? What kind of lineup are you supposed to put out there? What would you do?
Well, you can't. You can't. That's the problem. I mean, again, everybody hates the Sunday lineup thing, but it's a baseball thing, right? It's a baseball
yeah,
thing.
It's
every
a lot
team
of places.
Does it. It's we need to rest. We need to keep our bench players engaged. All that kind of stuff. Everyone does it. Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we talking about here with that? I hate that. I hate it, but I get it. And I don't blame Shelton because everyone does that. You can only, at some point, you can only shuffle the deck of the chairs of the Titanic so much, which is what they do at times. I mean, now that Sawinski's gone, okay, you have Reynolds in your outfield again. You know, he'll be back. Okay, fine. That's good. So now you got him back. That helps. Now, who are your two other outfielders? Palacios.
Well, they're probably
Michael A. Taylor,
Oliveras back or something of this nature. I don't know what they're going to do.
Bay. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what you have. You have Nick Gonzalez out. Guess what? You're going to have to play either Aleca Williams or Jared Triolo more than you want to play either one of them.
Yeah, that's
the one thing I will say. The one thing I will say is I know that he has struggled a little bit, and I know that he's been up and down and all the other good stuff. I cannot for the life of me understand why they haven't brought back Henry Davis and got rid of Grandal. I mean, he's so bad.
I guess they just feel they got to get him right down there. He's been getting some hits of late. A lot of people thought he might be involved in a trade. I'm not ready. I've said this before, Paul. I'm not going to give up on him yet. I think it's too soon to do that. I want to see him right. They need bats as best they can. And if they're not going to go out and acquire things, then he has to be one of them, steps up. And if he does, it doesn't matter where he plays. You can DH him, figure out a way to get his bat in the lineup.
But my point is, Grandal is 182, 221.
That's worse than Sawinski numbers.
299 slugging percentage. Yeah. 520 OPS. You know how bad that is? I mean, here's what's hilarious. He's 221 on base percentage, and somehow, some way, the Diamondbacks managed to walk him twice.
Yeah. Well, again, that rookie pitcher, I thought they let him off the hook. But then again, they're not hitting. So maybe he looks at it like, I can have a good day against this team, which he did based on the numbers.
Right.
That's but here's the other thing. Even if, like, at what point do we start thinking, you know, it should have been already, in my view, results matter. This is year five of the Charrington administration here, right? If they don't get into the playoffs because they do nothing and this team isn't good enough as constructed, what are the expectations moving forward? I think they're very promising from a pitching point of view. But if they don't go out and spend a lot of money on bats, and that's it, you don't need pitchers based on what I see coming up. Sure, you know, relievers, you can always tweak there. But I'm talking about bats. They have no. The lesson from this season is you can't hit. Therefore, you got to go spend money because the results should be very much laid out clearly next year, playoff or change.
Well, again, but here's my question: Why would you even if I'm Bob Nutting, I've already made it very clear that I want the playoffs this year to this group. So, and I'm not saying he has. I'm saying if it was me, mid-June, we would have started trying to get a trade.
Well, that's what I've been saying forever. I would have done it earlier than any other team. I would have tried to get people in here to help me through these games.
I mean, it's just one of these things where it's so important to note that if you want to win, you're one game over 500. You're only two and a half games out of the wild card, whatever it is. You're there. Despite the fact that you waited and waited and waited and waited, you're there. So now, what do you do to get over the top? That should be the only discussion. And when I hear things like, did you see some of the Charrington's quotes? I said, are they for real?
Yeah, it was not a good radio show yesterday, I thought.
I mean, let me see.
And you contrast that to what Bob Nutting said. The one and only time he spoke after they brought on Sheets as a sponsor, he made it sound like he has free reign to do whatever he wants, and he would prefer it happening earlier than later.
Would you like to hear some Ben Charrington?
Do you have the quote? Because this to me.
Why instead else, of me searching the Nutting, for the quotes.
Do you have the Nutting thing where, you know, because I thought that was in stark contrast to everything Ben said.
Nutting from when he was talking to Sheets?
Yeah. Yes, I've heard it before. I know it's in this system somewhere. But anyway, go ahead with the other thing.
Here it is.
Is there a time frame or maybe just a window of time where you guys will have a better idea of what you will know what you're doing at the deadline?
No.
No.
I think this may be a year where the deadline is a date.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not at all sure that we won't have opportunities well in advance of the deadline. Mm-hmm. I think we should be prepared to move early.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should be prepared to take advantage of opportunities when they arise. I know Ben has that flexibility to look across a broader range of alternatives, options, but also a timeline of when it makes sense to strike.
See, now that is in stark contrast to what we've seen, which is nothing.
Right.
He talked about strike. He mentioned strike three times. Earlier the better.
And this is what Charrington said.
We have had opportunities the last several days where we could have done something. We had, you know, offers or a price we could have said yes to, and we chose not to. And there have also been things that we pursued and made offers on that, and we've gotten a no from another team. So we're just in the middle of that negotiation. Nothing that fell through. We just haven't found the matches yet that we feel make sense. So we'll stay at it.
See, that sounds to me like he's not willing to push forward more chips
right.
If need be.
Right. And that is my irritation. And that's the thing that you say, well, you know, you can't mortgage the future. I thought the money quote. Okay, I don't know if you have this, so it's easier for me just to read it. I found it while that was going on, which is good because that means we didn't have to play that drop.
about me researching during the show, right? Listen to this, Bob. You'll like this.
Paul pause.
Yeah, because, you know, I do that. Like, we'll be talking about something. My thing is, I'd rather just have it in front of me and be able to talk about it. You know, when something will come up. I was like, hang on, let me look this up real quick. Anyway, Ben Cherington said, our approach at the deadline is to find a way to improve the Pirates in total and not for a specific year. That, to me, is hogwash. Absolutely hogwash. If you're not trying to improve your team for this year, then what are we doing here? Why are we supposed to pay attention to this team for the rest of the season? What are we doing here?
It sounds like they are right in the middle of something. They can't pull a trigger on one way or the other. It's sort of like Kyle Dubas with the Penguins. What do? You're trying to preserve the future, but living in the present. You can't do both at times. And the Pirates need to think now and now only, because now is now. That's it. Tomorrow is another. And, you know, when you get into this offseason, that whole is another topic that will go on for months. This is an opportunity. And, again, I only say this because I think when, and I'm sure you agree with this because you've said it before too, Paul, you have a chance with this pitching to do something in a best of three. You do. Right. Even if, you know, all three games would be on the road, I don't care where they would be. If you throw Skeens, Jones, and Keller at anyone, you should be in all three games with a chance to win all three games. So why wouldn't you give them that chance?
Well, that's the whole point. And the thing about it is every so often you have to overpay a little bit if you're the Pirates. You know what I mean?
All these guys you can't protect every prospect. You just can't.
All these guys are so worried about, you know, the press conference afterwards, some writer somewhere saying, wow, they overpaid for that. Here's my thing. You didn't overpay for it if it gets you to the playoffs. We'll worry about next year. And this idea that, well, you're going to mortgage the future. Like, that is my favorite line of all. You are going to mortgage the future. If who's the top guy? Tamar Johnson. Oh, you can't trade him because you are going to mortgage the future. Well, first of all, he's not going to arrive for at least two more years or three more years. Who cares?
That's the distance future. That's not the future.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, I mean, if you think about it, really, I mean, if you look at where they're at right now, okay? Let's look at 2025. You know what I see with 2025? You know what I know about 2025? They're going to have pretty much anybody that's anybody on this roster. They're going to have next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, like, okay, they give up a couple of prospects. And this is what I would ask all of these prospect goofballs, because there is a bunch of them. You know, Bob, I see them attack you like they attack me anytime you talk about trades, right?
Oh, no question.
Right? Here's what I say to them. Are the Pirates – I want a yes or no answer. Okay, Bob, let's do this exercise that I did with one of these goofballs, okay? Yes or no? Are the Pirates going to have Mitch Keller next year? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Are they going to have Paul Skeens next year?
Yes.
Are they going to have Jared Jones next year? Are they going to have Bailey Falter next year?
Yes.
Are they going to have David Bednar next year?
Yes.
Colin Holderman?
Probably.
Right? O'Neill Cruz?
Yes.
Brian Reynolds?
Yes.
Key Brian Hayes.
Yes, although that may not be a good thing.
I'm saying, okay? My point is because anybody else that I haven't named? Oh.
But that's your core.
Nick Gonzalez.
Yeah, yes.
I'll have him next year.
And you have those other guys that are ready to come up and join your pitching staff. If they could be this year's Jared or next year's Jared Jones.
But my point is, forget about all of that. That group I just named is essentially the team this year, the core of the team.
Right.
Here's the other part of it. You can always go find a Marco Gonzalez or Martin Perez. They do it every year. So, okay, you're losing those two guys, probably. Aroldis Chapman, guess what? You're losing him, but you're probably going to have $10.5 million now to spend on somebody else because you don't have to spend it on him. If you really, really, really want Roddy Teles back, I would be willing to bet you could sign him for another like $5 million or $4 million. You can get him pretty cheap. What are we talking about here, Bob? You got Andy Rodriguez coming back next year. You have Joey Bart in fold if you want him, and Henry Davis. Okay, so you lose a couple of your prospects. What are we talking about here? You're not mortgaging anything.
No, and it's time for, you know, they talk about getting to the playoffs every year. Okay, do it. Again, if there was a wide gap between the third wild card and where they sit, fine, I get it. You don't think you can overcome it? You're being truthful to yourself. But they're two games out of it, Paul, with 2 months left in the season. And they've wasted opportunities along the way. They actually could be in the third or second wild card. Because they're that close, they need to strike now. They need to think now, and they think only of the future. No. It's now. It's present. It has to be present. Every team should think in the present. All the teams that have made trades, even Chicago, behind them in the standings, thinks now.
Right. All I'm saying
is... this has nothing to do with money either. It doesn't.
No. All I'm saying is you can't sell, you know, the idea that, well, we've got to be very, very careful because we're going to mortgage the future. You can't sell me on that anymore. Because guess what? You've got a lot of these guys... not just intact for next year, but the year after, right?
Yeah.
The year after.
They have them. They know it. Strike now. That's another reason to do it now, because you have these guys for a limited amount of time before this window closes. So do whatever you can now.
I mean, you have Reynolds for 2 more years. You have Keller for 2 more years. You have Skeens for at least 2 more years. You have Skeens and Jones for 2 more years. You've got Falter for 2 more years. You've got Davis and Rodriguez for 2 more years. Bart too. I mean, so it's not just 1 year, it's 2 years. I mean, what are we talking about here? But here's the thing, Bob. They allow it to happen. Pirates, apologists, and certain media members allow it to happen because they buy this garbage, hook, line, and sinker, and then they shout down anybody that says, wait a minute, that doesn't even, you know what I mean? My thing is, are you trying to win or are you not?
Yeah.
If winning to and Ben Sherrington said this, well, you know, we're worried about the Pirates, not just a specific year. If 2024 doesn't matter, guess what? Great news. Training camp started yesterday. We can ignore you for the rest of the year. That's what you're telling us. Or, you know, training camp started last Tuesday. Today or tomorrow is the first day in pads, right? First day in pads. We don't need to talk about the Pirates ever again. If you don't care about the 2024 season, why should we? That's what's frustrating to me. And here's the other thing. Not to go on a rant here, but yesterday you had Jared Triolo diving to save a ball. You had Grandal playing first and making 2 or 3 good plays. You had Roddy Teles with a broken hand or whatever he's got coming up and saying, yeah, give me the bat, I'll go play. This team wants to win. They scrap. They're gritty. There's so much to like about the way they go about it. The problem is, you're not over the next 60 games going to be able to win enough games when you're running at your bottom five guys or the black hole of hitters.
And I wonder, that's another important part of this, what the clubhouse thinks. You know, players are tuned in. They understand what other teams are doing. They work as if they're trying to get to a playoff, and yet the general manager apparently is not interested in helping them out. Again, I'm not going to close the door. It's still Tuesday tomorrow. We still have time. Something could shock you right now, and I hope it does. But if it doesn't, what message are you sending to them and your fan base, basically? You know?
That to me is the most frustrating thing, really. And I think that we can all be basically, we should all be in a place where we demand more. And listen.
But if you're tone deaf and nobody, you know, if they can talk all they want, it's actions that matter. And I don't think they're affected by what people think. And they should be sometimes. You know, you don't have to make decisions based on that, but you should get the pulse of your fan base, the pulse of your locker room, and see what they think.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you have to do what they say. That means you have to listen. And by listening, you would find out that people want something now, it's available. Let's go.
Right. Yeah, you know, I get a kick out of people, too, that want to try and tell us that were wrong, Bob. And that was the bottom line.
Well, every opinion is an opinion. People have them. But you're right. It could be. I think a lot of guys get swayed by the verbiage that they hear and the protection of rosters, you know, minor league rosters. And people buy too far into this prospect pool. Every prospect is untouchable because, wow, look what he did here the other night. He had seven scoreless in Altoona. And I don't care. At some point, prospects are made to be used as chips in trades. That's
exactly
it. A lot of teams do it.
Justin Martinez pitched the 10th. But this guy says, you guys refer to Justin Martinez as a D-back closer, blah, blah, blah. He just pitched the 9th because their closer apparently wasn't available. Wrong. The closer pitched the 9th. I said the closer pitched the 9th. The closer's name, and I couldn't think of it, is it Seawald or Seaward or Seawald. He's their closer. He pitched the 9th. Martinez pitched the 10th. So,
yeah, Martinez was bad. But here's the other thing about just generally pitching today. I find, you know, their rosters, both sides, are going to be depleted if this game had gone too much further down the road. I still don't understand the logic of one guy pitches one inning, sometimes 8 pitches, and he can't go out to the next. And then they put that guy in who had nothing. He was walking wild, and the Pirates took advantage of him. I just don't understand that sometimes. I don't understand why pitchers can't go 2 innings, especially when you're in an extra inning game and you need guys to go more than 1 inning.
Right.
But that's just an overall thing in baseball that happens everywhere.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's one of those things where I get why they didn't go with Seawald a second inning, you know, but I agree with you. I think sometimes it's they overthink this stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They overthink this stuff. So anyway, it's one of those things where there are guys that are still available out there, and Bob and I are going to talk about them, and we are going to talk about that wasn't exactly the most fluent of exchanges there, right? But we got it done.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.